your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me a guest from Canada. I've known her for a very long time. Her name is Holly Bigger, and she was one of the first people I met when I went up to British Columbia. I was there a year before, a couple of years before, with my grandmother. It was on our first teaching trip to Canada at the time. And Hawaii Otakata had been there a couple of years before, and we were teaching Reiki together there. And Holly was one of the community who lived in what is called the Kootenays there. And I would like to welcome Holly to the show. And, yeah, and I know that you'll be fascinated and excited about her experiences with the treatment of Reiki. Holly, are you there?
I am.
Oh, good. I didn't know if we had lost each other.
We had, but I called back.
Oh, good. Oh,
shoot. Don't know what happened.
No, me neither. Okay, Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, for those of you who don't know it, the way this show is rigged up is Holly is in her home in Canada, and I'm in my home in Arizona, and we call into the same place, and so we do this interview by phone, like a phone conversation. But sometimes phone lines do really strange things, so this is one of them. So, Holly, I know that you were born in the eastern part of Canada and moved to British Columbia.
Yes, that's right.
And did you always love children? Or were you connected with children in some way in your life?
Yes, as I came out of high school, or even before that, my summer jobs, when I was in high school, I would work with special needs children, and so when I went into college, I went into training to work with special needs children, and then also to work in daycares.
Oh, wow! Amazing. And then that continued when you came to BC and you worked in the school system there?
Yes, I worked in the school system with special needs children very early on when that wasn't, hadn't really been set up in the way that it is now. In Canada, we have a lot of support, one-to-one support for children with special needs in each classroom. And so I was kind of on, the beginning of doing that, and we had an actual special needs classroom within the school, and so it was ages from kindergarten to grade 8 of all different needs. And
great.
Yeah, and then I also have just also worked one-to-one with individuals in their homes and the community.
And you came into Reiki about 25 years ago?
Yes,
that's
right.
Is that about right?
Yeah, 1982.
So I'm wondering, how has Reiki added to what you do with special needs children? And I'll go from there.
Well, I was working in that special needs classroom at the time that I learned Reiki. And so, it felt like it really added to my work, my presence with the children, and my understanding of healing and energy. As I came out of that work, when I realized that Reiki was my path and my life work, I ended up just doing Reiki for 10 years, like traveling a lot, teaching a lot of classes, doing my Reiki practice. And then I was booked to go to England, and there was a woman who was the special needs superintendent down in Vancouver, and she'd heard about my work with Reiki and also that I had background with special needs. So she asked if I'd be willing to work with this little girl who was in kindergarten. She was just coming out of the children's hospital, and she'd lost the use of her legs and lost her mom and her baby brother in a car accident.
Oh, my gosh.
And she just felt like, you know, she needed someone that had something else other than just the training and working with children.
Uh-huh.
So it was really the Reiki that she was interested in me bringing into that job. And so it wasn't so much doing the lie-down, hands-on form of treatment that we are used to, but more just bringing that Reiki energy into my work with her. And so I did accept that job. And she said, can you start right away? And I said, yes. She said, can you come to a meeting at 2 o'clock today? And I said, yes. Oh, I think I've just changed my life. But it felt like really bringing Reiki back into that work that I already did.
Uh-huh. And now you and your partner live in care facilities for autistic children?
Yes, we run 3 residential homes, and they're for children and youth, and mostly the majority of our clients have autism, but there are a couple of them that don't have autism but have similar kind of profile or similar needs.
Uh-huh.
Most are non-speaking, not that that's always the case with autism, but in this case it is. And also, my partner is a behavioral consultant for autism, and so you know, behavior has also been a big focus. It seems like we've ended up with the clients that you know, are really challenging for the families to keep at home. You know,
uh-huh.
after they're about 8, 9 years old, even though the families may have been really involved and really supporting that child as best they can, they're just exhausted, and they just need a different form of a living situation that would be able to support them.
Uh-huh.
So the families don't have to give up guardianship. They're still the guardians, and they're still very involved, but we uh-huh. have a team of staff. We have about 50 staff between the 3 houses, and so we have a good ratio for working with the children and really focusing on their needs.
Mm-hmm. So how does Reiki play a part in it, besides, of course, just, you know, your own daily treatments and, you know, obvious kinds of Reiki support that you give yourself and probably the caregivers?
Well,
I'm just wondering, do you give treatments directly to the children or to the
yes,
parents?
And I, you know, before we started these homes, I was working with one of the boys who's now, let's see, he's 18 now, and I worked with him since he was 3 in his home.
Oh, my gosh.
And he moved into the house. We started the house when he was about 10. And so he's, you know, he's family for me. And his mom asked me if I would do treatment on him when he was little, because he was having a hard time sleeping, a hard time settling, and you know, keeping the rest of the house awake as well. And so when I first started doing Reiki on him, it felt like wild horses inside his body. You know, I could just feel his energy. And he was non-speaking. He was about 5 by this time. And he'd just take my hand and look at it really up close to his face and then put it back down and put his hand over top of it. And then he'd do that again, and he was, like, really very conscious of the energy and very interested in it. And And so I started doing that with doing his bedtimes and helping him to be able to, you know, learn how to settle and relax and let his body go to sleep. And, you know, and that just, you know, really supported the whole family.
Was that successful?
Yes. Oh, yes. Very successful. And then when he was about seven, his mom asked if I would come and just treat him, for him to try sitting in a dental chair. You know, it's like always baby steps when we're, you know, working with these children. And she wanted me to just come and maybe he would be comfortable to sit in the chair if I was doing Reiki on him. And maybe the dentist might get a peek, but maybe not the first time, you know. We just seen how it went. But just before they came for the appointment, she was opening the car door and he hopped forward and hit his mouth on the door. And so when I arrived in the waiting room, there was just the three of us, and he just came over and sat on my lap and took my hand and put it over his mouth. And his mom just cried, like, here's a boy who can't talk, can't ask for what he needs, but he knows this energy, and he knows that this is what he needs, and this is what will help him feel better.
Beautiful story.
Very cool.
Really, wonderful. I'd love to come back to this after the station break.
Okay.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today we have the pleasure of having Holly Bigger from Nelson, British Columbia, Canada. And she's been working with special needs children since she was in high school, which I didn't know. And she has just wonderful stories about her life with Reiki, which has been around 25 years now, and her work with these children. We will also, later on in the program, come to her other part of her story, which is being a part of a birth team for pregnant women. So You were saying, Holly, right before the break, you were talking, telling us this wonderful story about this young fellow who was going to go to a dentist, and that he fell out of the car kind of when he was getting out and hurt his mouth. And so did you, like, sit in the dentist chair with him and treat him, or just while you were waiting for the dentist?
Well, we were in the waiting room. I was treating his mouth because he, you know, was asking for that right away then. But then I was able to also just go and sit beside him while he was in that kind of reclining dentist chair and treat him, and he was able to just, you know, relax and let the dentist not do anything other than just, take a peek in his mouth. But it was a first start. And, you know, we practiced that more and more, and he's gotten really good at letting people floss and clean and do all of that, you know, so.
Well, I mean, you know, like, I guess because, you know, I don't have my own children, but I've been around children, but you don't really realize how invasive dental care, for instance, can be to a child. Well, to any child, number one, and then you add on top of it a child that has sensitivities to privacy somehow. I mean, we could describe it like that, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And how relaxing Reiki can be for and safe to make.
Yes.
It safe.
I've used it with him also, you know, with all the different children in different ways, but with him also, there's times that he's needed to go into the hospital, and so I've gone into surgery with him and treated him
until
he goes under. And then they've had me come in before he comes out of recovery so I can be there treating him with Reiki as he comes to. And it's made all the difference, you know, because it can be so disorienting and scary. And, you know, it's hard for him to understand what's going on or what's happening to him. But for him to just have me there and have that Reiki happening, you know, he trusts that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because he's kind of grown up with it now, you know.
Right, and what about his parents? Do you give them Reiki, or?
Actually, you know, the day he started kindergarten was a big day, and I did give, I'd already treated his grandmother before she'd asked for Reiki, and, you know, I waited till they were asking me to treat him before I was doing any hands-on with him. But then his mom had a treatment his first day of kindergarten, and then that's when she said, could you do this with him, you know, and do you think this would help? And it's like, yes. So, you know, I feel like it's really, really helped him, and she's been happy to have him, you know, carrying on receiving Reiki. And also, because now we're running these houses and we have, you know, other children in the homes, and that we're always hiring, you know, we have a lot of staff and we're always hiring, that I feel like that's another way the Reiki is really supporting my work now, is that it feels like, you know, I let people know right in the interview, you know, that it's all about energy for me, you know, and it's key that we keep the energy of the house clear, that this is the boys' homes and the staff come and go.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, so for me, just feeling that intuition about who would be a good fit, it's not always who's got the most background or education or experience, but who would really bring, you know, what they bring energetically to the job and who would be a good fit with them and with the other staff.
That's
really how we've been running things for years, and how we make our decisions about things and about hiring.
That's wonderful. And if you had guideposts or something for people who have contact with special needs children who aren't necessarily verbal in the same way that we're used to verbal communication, do you have some guidelines or pointers for people?
Well, I think, you know, always for anybody, people getting to experience it is the best way for them to get to understand it. But, you know, I would just talk to them and tell them about Reiki and what it is that I'm going to do and that I'm going to put my hands on them. And I find them to be very welcoming of that Reiki energy. You know, there's like a misfiring with the brain with autism, and it feels like, you know, Reiki can just, it's a way of communicating too. You know, it's a way that it goes through all of those limitations and disabilities, and that we are just together connected as two human beings. And I feel like they feel really, you know, seen as a human being and received as a human being when I'm there and doing Reiki with them.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. What a wonderful message to give them. Because, of course, quite often in this day and age, that's not the message that they get.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in our homes, like, it's a very loving environment, and the staff love coming to work there. And also, many of the staff have learned Reiki, you know, over time that they've been there, then they've gotten more interested in learning Reiki as well. So then when there is something that happens, like if someone has a seizure, someone has to go to the hospital, or if there's, you know, just an injury, or somebody's having difficulty sleeping, or there's some upset going on that we don't even know what is upsetting for them, if they're in pain or whatever.
Right.
To just be able to do Reiki it's been such a positive thing to have in the house, and to have a number of different people. Not all our staff have Reiki. It's not a requirement for the job, but it's something that people do get attracted to because they see other people using it and the results that they get.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And do you encourage, or I guess you don't do this clearly, but do you encourage like staff support? So if one of the staff members has a bad day or gets into some really deep personal stuff, I'm sure this comes up in working with these kids, that they are able to receive Reiki also?
That is something that I've seen happen between staff sometimes, where, you know, somebody has, you know, is having a shoulder injury or different things, and when it's a very busy household, so there's not like a lot of downtime, but when there is a moment, then they'll just, you know, give that person some Reiki. And I've done that often in the staff. You know, we have these staff meetings, and I can just feel, oh, so-and-so is really, it's like I can't, it's hard to, you know, pay attention to the meeting sometimes because I'm feeling like, oh, I just, you know, I'm feeling that call to be offering them Reiki. So then, you know, I'll just at some point say, you know, quietly, do you want some Reiki? And they'll just come and, you know, sit in front of me, or I'll go behind them or whatever, and then do some Reiki during the meeting.
Right. Sounds like a good meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back shortly.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Hello, we're Mike and Susan.
Hello, I'm Catherine.
We are the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador Family. Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy 5-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me today Holly Bigger from the Kootenays in Canada, on the west, toward the west in BC. Holly is, really has some other, I should start again. Holly has two wonderful, applications, that I would like to talk about today with her. One is about her special needs children and what she's doing, even today with her, houses in, Nelson and the surrounding area. And one of the things that I just like to point out is that often we think about giving Reiki, that there is an appropriate way to give Reiki or whatever. And I think in this case with special needs children and also with the staff, it becomes very practical, very down to earth. You're not going to see these kids or the staff members have time to lay down for an hour and receive Reiki, but as my grandmother used to say, a little Reiki is better than none, and obviously this application of Reiki has been extremely effective. And it's good to just know that there are different ways to treat people and in different instances, and part of the magic or the wonderment about Reiki is that you can do very formal treatments where there's lovely music and atmosphere and you go off into another world or into yourself. And there are also these times when, you know, you're just there with people, you put your hands on and it happens. Wonderful. So the next piece is also a wonderful opportunity for people to become involved in the birthing process. And one of the things that when I lived in British Columbia, one of the things that I was a part of during that time in the 1980s was this conversation between the established medical community and the midwives, where we used to live, or where I live and where Holly still lives. There were lots of midwives who were delivering babies because some of it was very practical because there weren't very many doctors. People lived way up into the mountains and it wasn't really practical for them to, you know, have such close connection to a regular hospital. So midwifery was very prevalent in those days, and it also fit with the kind of philosophical lifestyle that people were living. And then it seemed that the midwives needed to come and be closely regulated, and luckily in British Columbia, midwifery is what is called legal. But there are some restrictions to that. And Holly, do you want to just talk a little bit about that?
I'm not sure what you mean by the restrictions.
Well, how how it's organized. So there are, when we were talking earlier, you were saying that, for instance, midwives used to work alone or with a companion or a support, and then often they'd have a doctor that was on call with them. But now it's mandatory. Is that true?
Right, that you have to have another pair of hands present for sure, and it is limited whether the midwife can use the hospital facilities. There are times where it depends on the doctor. Like often the midwife is the only professional care person for the birth. But if it gets right down to a point where the midwife feels like she has to transfer the birth to the hospital, there are some times where the midwives are allowed to come and be part of that, and other times where they have to, like, wait outside the door. And that varies. I think it's opening up more, but it's still, it's still a part of what gets determined by that, the individual doctor, I think.
Right. So in the old days, like when I first was up in BC, you used to accompany people in their pregnancy, women in their pregnancy, and be at the birth often?
Yes, yeah. And, it felt like it was, Reiki was a handy thing to do. A handy skill to have if you liked getting to be at birth, because people, really liked to have someone there who could be doing Reiki on them during the labor and also through the pregnancy, getting to do treatments. And also, as part of the after birth care, there were sometimes I would work with a midwife and, it'd be winter and be hard to get up to the cabins, that if I was closer to them, then she would have me go and do the care for the baby afterwards and the mother. And so, some of that would be the practical care and also while I was there, I get to do some Reiki on both of them.
So is it true that now you work with a certain group of midwives and the couple gets to choose whether they have some, for instance, Reiki support or massage support or some other kinds of support during the pregnancy and labor?
No, I was working. There was somewhere in Nelson, there's a woman who runs a birthing clinic. She's not a midwife, but she, or not a clinic, a birth home it's called. And she's not a midwife, but she kind of grew up like I did, just kind of having those experiences of being at birth and not having like professional training as a doula or as a midwife. Kind of naturally did that in the same way that I did, so she started this birthing house where it was a home where people could come and have a home birth if they wanted to. But they wanted to be, like, in town and close to the hospital if needed.
Oh, right.
Or they didn't live in a place where they could do a home birth, or they didn't live in a place where the midwife could come to. Then it gave an option to have, it was like part of her home, but she had, like, a whole suite that was a birthing suite, like the birthing home. And then she would be an attendant at the birth, and then I was her assistant for a while, and so she could leave and go away. She created this situation, but she also felt pretty tied, because when you're on call for birth, you're on call. You need to be there. So I was doing that for a couple years with her, of just being a backup for her, so she could go away and do that. Then it got to a point in my life that I needed to make that change. With my other work, I wasn't as able to be as available for that.
So what are some of the advantages to What are some of the things that you saw as you treated pregnant women?
Well, when I talk about it, I talk about it's such an individual thing for each woman. It's sort of more like just being really in tune with them as to what they're wanting, where they want your hands. Sometimes they can communicate that to you, and other times it's more an intuitive thing because they're in such a state in the labor that, you know, you're just kind of working really so closely with them and so in tune with them that you just know what's needed. And with one birth, the woman really needed my hands glued to her lower abdomen area, you know, the uterus area, during the contractions. And then we kind of both fall asleep in between in these little power naps. And and then the contraction would start, and we'd just both be awake and on, and she'd be having a contraction, and I'd be there doing the Reiki. And someone else needed to not have my hands on during the contraction. It felt too much for them, but she wanted my hands on between contractions and also doing distance treatment during contraction.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's it's like with everything, it's very individual, but it feels like it's like going into the, you know, you're going into that altered state of the labor with the woman and just kind of being there, breathing with them, and it feels like it's about opening, you know, so you're really getting in that opening energy with them.
Well, you know, it brings me back to this comment that many, many students make at the point of initiation themselves, which is, gee, you know, this feels like coming home. And one of the associations I have with this feeling is this feeling of when we're in the birth, when we're in birth, we are one with our mother. I mean, there's no separation. And then all of a sudden we're born and we come out of this oneness into this other place. And it just feels that this feeling that Reiki, that our adult, well, I'll say adult because that's how I came into it, our adult experience of oneness comes more in some way from these kind of momentary situations. And it's an interesting pairing, I would say, to have Reiki at a birth and extend that at home, I've come home feeling with a baby who's just coming into our world.
Yes, it really, that's what it feels like. It feels like I'm really welcoming them into the world with that Reiki energy.
Mm-hmm. And extending this period of time of still being one.
Right, yes.
Uh-huh.
And when I treat them, you know, the mother and the baby after the baby's born, like, then the mother will just have the baby lying on her belly, and I'm treating both of them.
Uh-huh.
It's very sweet.
Uh-huh. And do you ever treat the fathers?
Yes, actually. I think that's a really good point, you know, fathers or other partners, you know, that they're really getting to hold the mother in that birthing experience. And it's good for the mother to see the father getting some energy also, you know, to get some support because they're giving so much support during that time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just to treat their adrenal glands for a while, just to kind of recharge them, because often, you know, it's the middle of the night or, you know, you're awake along. You're in this altered state and you're awake for a long time, right? So, but what I've really been fascinated by is that in the past, fathers were really excluded from the birthing. And it just has felt so important to witness them during the birth that it feels like a very intimate thing to be welcomed in, invited in to share a couple's birth. And it's also, I feel like I'm just sitting in that place of witnessing. The mother has be, has been becoming the mother through the whole pregnancy, and often I witness that transition of the man becoming the father during the birth.
Uh-huh.
Like where he just comes into this pup or bear energy that he didn't have before.
Wow. And
very
it's kind
beautiful.
Of an instantaneous thing rather than a gradual one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that should be a shock.
Yeah. And, you know, I did a class where there was a woman who was pregnant and, like, close to birthing, maybe about 8 months uh-huh. pregnant.
Holly, sorry. I hear the music for our break, so...
Okay. We'll come back.
I'm going to hold on this story. We'll mm-hmm. take it up right after the break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to the Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network. The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm with Holly Bigger from British Columbia, Canada. And one of the things that was really exciting about interviewing Holly was that she had these two two groups of people that she was treating with Reiki, and some very interesting situations, the special needs children and their parents, and then birthing parents. And, I realized that the energy of switching was an interesting one, and we'll just keep rolling along with the birthing parents. I think you had a story, Holly, that you were going to share with us.
Yes. We've been talking about fathers in birthing, and I had these parents that the mother had done first degree previously and was reviewing the class when she was 8 months uh-huh. pregnant. And the father was taking first degree for the first time. And when they came back on the last day of the class, they had a story to share with me where he woke up before her and started treating the baby. And it was like this way for him to connect with the baby that they realized previous to that he kind of was connected to the baby through her. And he it was a way that he could just connect with the baby directly. And the mother woke up and she said it was the first time she realized they would have their own relationship.
You know, the father and the baby.
Yeah, apart from her, right?
Really
neat. Yeah, so that was, yeah, that was a lovely way for them. And I think that that's really so that, like, my experience, too, in treating women and babies during pregnancy is it feels like it's really, like, really feeling who that person is coming in, you know, really getting a feel for them and their that entity and their personality and all that kind of getting to know them ahead of time, you know.
Right.
And I feel like they also have that recognition with me, like when I've done a lot of treatment on someone when they before they're born, then once that baby is born, like I feel like as there's if I'm not around them all the time and then I am with them again, like I feel that child has that like kind of recognition kind of
that's
the Reiki energy or of me or the combination of both.
And I just want to be somewhat politically correct and say that not all parents nowadays are a man and a woman, that there are also couples of same sex that come together and have children, and that also must apply to them as well. I mean,
yes,
I don't think it matters whether it's two men or two women or a woman and a man. There is this fact that one of them is physically having this baby, and the other one is, you know,
vicarious.
Well, used to be a bystander, but now. Seems like with Reiki that there's a way to bridge that into something more active.
Yes, it really does feel that way.
Uh-huh.
And I felt that, like, with my own son. My partner was carrying him and birthed him, and we were able to tune into him and get that he was going to need help out. And so it actually ended up being my first birth that was a C-section. There's times where I've been doing Reiki, been asked to do Reiki at birth, sometimes at home birth, sometimes in the hospital. And we were planning a home birth, and then about a week before knew that we'd be going into the hospital and having a C-section. And through the Reiki, we were both able to tune into him and get that he was going to need help out. And once we got that from him, we could just really surrender our ideals and ideas of expectations of what our home birth was going to be like. And, you know, we got to be at the hospital. So I was there for the C-section doing Reiki on my partner, Wendy, while the doctors were birthing Kai through the C-section.
Uh-huh.
And then she needed to stay and complete the surgery part of that, and I got to, you know, take him and go have the pediatrician check him out and all that. But I felt like, you know, all the Reiki that I'd been doing with him during the pregnancy, you know, really supported our bond and, you know, and the bond that we have as, like in the past, I've been a step-parent, and this is very different this time, that I'm, you know, I really get to be his parent even though I didn't birth him.
Interesting. Wow, that's really a moving story. Thank you. And through these experiences with Reiki, what are the gifts that have been given to you?
Sorry, I didn't understand. You said through the...
Through these experiences of Reiki, I feel like a lot of people don't get to have because it's not their calling, but it feels or it might be too scary or something, because I know that a lot of people are kind of leery about treating people who they can't talk to, or, you know, maybe they might do something wrong. I'm just wondering if you have received gifts from these treatments that you can share with people.
Oh, yes. I think, you know, just the thing of really deepening my trust in myself and my own intuition, because of feeling, you know, feeling so much like that connection that happens on other levels when I'm doing Reiki, and that, you know, that I've built that sense of intuition and that sense of trust, you know, over the years through these kinds of experiences. You know, getting to be at the birth, like the first birth I was at, you know, it just felt like, even though I knew about birth and the miracle of birth, just the actually being there and the joy of it all, it was just such a miracle to witness. And I guess that, you know, being witness, whether it's whatever the healing is, whether it's joy or whether it's pain, you know, it feels like that's such a gift and an honor to be included in, invited into that intimacy. In relationship to working with distant treatments, I've been being asked to be doing treatments on women that are having difficulties in regards to the pregnancy, and, you know, just really connecting with those little beings and seeing what they need in the pregnancy or in the birth or in the incubator or whatever, right? It's been really amazing.
So it feels like you can communicate with them through well, you use the word intuition, but I'm just wondering, is there a difference between intuition and actual nonverbal communication, do you think?
Yes. It's like that inner knowing. And yeah, I think it's what it is. It's like it's a different level of communication that's happening.
Well, for me, intuition is, let's see how I put it. Intuition is more from my side of the you know, of the situation. It's like I have an intuition that comes through my filter, but communication, nonverbal communication, is really a partnership. Feels different. Both are very good, but they're different.
That makes sense to me too.
Great. Well, Holly, it's the end of the interview, and I'm really sad because I have a bunch more questions.
Guess you get to ask me another time.
Offline. Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I enjoy talking with you.
Thank you. And for all of you out there, just know that, you know, in our lives, we have these very sensitive places in ourselves, and it's good that we can apply Reiki to ourselves. So until next time, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network, and discover how you can find balance from within.